So we're going to continue our series this morning on spiritual DNA. I know that today is Independence Day, July 4th. Maybe you're thinking, okay, Pastor Tommy is going to preach on patriotism or the founding fathers or liberty or freedom. Well, not exactly, but close. In fact, we're going to tie it in together before we get finished this morning. What I really want to talk to you with the time that I have left this morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness. That is a big word, an important word for us in the body of Christ. It's something that we have benefited from because we have a Heavenly Father who has forgiven us. And how many of you are grateful this morning for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ? But then not only does our Father set the example of forgiveness, but He passes that down to us in our spiritual DNA, and He says to us that we likewise are to forgive others. And so this morning we're going to talk about that subject, and pretty soon you're going to see us wrap it all together to where we realize that our true freedom, our true liberty is found in this word, forgiveness. Let's look to the scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So here we are, sons of the Father, the DNA being passed down. He's the one who does the forgiving, but He also says we have to forgive as well. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter is picking up on this message of forgiveness. And he's thinking, "Jesus, I think I finally got it. Let's see if I got it right." So listen to what Peter says. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Or some versions put it 70 times 7, which would be 490 times. I want to begin my message today by stating two central truths about forgiveness. Number one is that forgiveness is necessary. Point number two, forgiveness is hard. Let's be real today. As necessary as it is, as important as it is, the fact that we've been told by Jesus that we've got to forgive others if we're going to be forgiven, we know that it is necessary, but come on, how many of you have lived enough life to know that it's not always easy? Sometimes forgiveness is really hard. I want us to start at that point. Forgiveness is hard. Most of us have heard of Ron Popeil. He's the king of the infomercial. And several years ago, he had a commercial, I think it was some rotisserie oven that he was selling. And his line to sell that to all of us was, "It's so simple, all you have to do is set it and..." There you go, you saw that commercial too, about 300 times. Set it and forget it. It's so easy. Anybody can do it. Just push the button, walk away. It takes care of itself. And there are those who would try to suggest to us that forgiveness ought to be that easy as well. Just forgive it and forget it, and it'll all be taken care of. But forgiveness isn't that easy. Forgiveness is hard. And I think that even when we know that it's the right thing to do, even when we accept the fact that we've been forgiven by God and we ought to forgive others, there are times in our life where it just isn't easy. And I think that there's a direct correlation between the magnitude of the harm or the wrong that has been done to us and how easy it is to forgive. I mean, sometimes people say, "Oh, would you forgive me for what I did?" And you're going, "What? I don't even remember. I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even notice it." You know, sure, you know, it was easy. It's easy to forget because we didn't even feel any pain or harm. But sometimes the harm, the damage that's been done to us, it's real. It's deep. It's lasting. It's wounds. It's pain that doesn't just easily go away. And in those times, we find that it's a whole lot more difficult to forgive. I'm reminded of a silly little children's poem that I learned when I was a kid. Maybe you've heard of it before. It says something like this. "Way down south where bananas grow, a grasshopper stepped on an elephant's toe. The elephant said with tears in his eyes, Why don't you pick on somebody your own size? You know, we laugh at that because it's kind of silly, right? A little grasshopper stepping on a big old massive elephant. So, I mean, we want to look at the elephant and say, come on, get over it, big boy. It's not that big a deal. A grasshopper stepped on your toe. Yes, it happened. It really happened. But get over it. It's not a big deal. But sometimes it is a big deal. Sometimes it feels more like the elephant stepped on the grasshopper's toe. Sometimes you feel like you just got crushed by what somebody else did to you. What do we do when it's a big thing? What do we do when it's hard? What do we do when it wasn't just that somebody bumped into us and said, oh, excuse me, and you go, oh, yeah, I forgive you. Well, what do you do when it's more like adultery and you've got to learn how to forgive that offending spouse? What is it when it's more like sexual abuse or when it's physical abuse that someone has perpetrated against you and they've stolen so much away and your life is in just ashes, as it were? How do you forgive that? What do you do when it's a drunk driver who ran into your 16-year-old kid and took their life? How do you forgive when it's not easy? You see, deep scars or deep hurts leave deep scars. Forgiveness isn't easy. Sometimes We want to hold on to our rights. The pastor, I have the right to be upset. I have the right to be angry. I have the right to whatever. You know, as a nation, we appreciate the rights that we have. In fact, we have a certain set of rights that we call the Bill of Rights. And we're proud of it. But sometimes you can hold on to your rights until you're in the wrong. And sometimes you have to say, I give up my right to be angry. And sometimes you have to say, I give up my right to want to get even. And sometimes you have to say, I give up my right to feel the hurt and the pain. It's not easy to forgive, but here's the good news. God in his grace gives us the power to do it. When I'm talking about forgiveness today, I'm not asking for you to do something that's just humanly natural or easy to do. I'm talking about you stepping into that place where we're depending on Jesus. We're saying, Lord, this is hard for me. I need your help. How many of you have ever had to love somebody that was unlovable? And you prayed and you said, God, give me the grace to love that person. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to forgiveness. There are times where we have to forgive some things that in the natural it feels unforgivable. But we say, God, would you, in the same way that you forgave me, would you empower me? Would you extend your grace into my life? Give me the ability that goes beyond my natural ability to be able to forgive. Forgiveness means to give up resentment or claim to compensation or retaliation for an offense. That's a kind of a simple, straightforward definition, but sometimes we really don't understand the dynamics of forgiveness as we get into trouble. There's some mistakes that we sometimes make when we start trying to understand, how do I forgive? For instance, some would mistake forgiveness for trust and think that if I forgive a person, that means that I have to trust them. I just want to tell you right now, that's not what forgiveness is. You can forgive somebody that you do not trust. You can forgive somebody that you should not trust. Because forgiveness and trust are two totally different things. See, forgiveness is it's a one-way street. Forgiveness is a unilateral decision. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the person who hurt you, who harmed you, who did whatever. Forgiveness is something that's just between you and the Lord. It's something you decide to do. You don't have to wait for them to ask for forgiveness. You don't have to wait for them to earn or deserve your forgiveness. It might be that they're not even willing to receive your forgiveness. But you make the individual decision, because I know it's the right thing to do, I forgive you. That's forgiveness. Now, trust, totally different thing. See, trust is a two-way street. Trust has to be earned. Trust is where the person has to change their behavior in order for me to open up my heart and give them room and access to my heart again. Totally different thing. Trust is, and we want to hope Sometimes the forgiveness and the trust will come back together. But if not, I just want to free you this morning. Trust me when I say you don't have to trust to forgive. A second mistake or problem with forgiveness is thinking that it is an act instead of a process. I want to change your way of thinking about that. I don't want you to think about forgiveness as something that I made one decision one day, I'm going to forgive, and then that was it. Because I think that oftentimes, and again, I think there's a direct correlation with the magnitude of the infraction against us. Because it may be that you can just go, oh yeah, I forgave that, I forgot about it a long time ago, and never came back to mind again. And thank God that sometimes it's easy to forgive. But sometimes it's a process where it's one decision that leads to another decision that leads to another decision that leads to another decision. It's I choose to forgive today. I choose to forgive 5 minutes later. I choose to give 10 minutes later. I choose to forgive. Then I have to continue in that process of forgiveness. Remember the story that we read about Peter coming to Jesus saying, hey, I think I'm getting this forgiveness thing down, Lord. I figured it out. What if I'm willing to forgive 7 times in a day? And Jesus is like, Peter, you're getting there, but you're not quite there yet. Sometimes it might take up to 490 times, 70 times, 7 times in a day. And you're thinking to yourself, because I think to myself, who is going to stand around and let somebody hurt you 490 times in one day? I, at some point, I'm getting in the car and I'm leaving. I mean, you know, like we'll save some of this for the next day. But we have to move. What is Jesus talking about? Who is going to get offended? I was in a meeting one time with some pastors, and a counselor was talking to us about this issue of forgiveness. And what he said, it just rang true in my spirit, and I think it'll help you as well. He said, a person may only injure you one time. Maybe one thing that they did. But the memory keeps coming back. And it plays like a looping video in your mind. How many times have you replayed that video? How many, some of you, there's a video that's coming back into your mind right now. I mean, you're remembering what someone did, and it's replaying in your head exactly what they said, exactly how it went down. And the enemy is really, really good at playback. He's really good at bringing back memory back and making you face that thing again and again and again. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus says every time that it comes back, you got to make the decision, I'm going to forgive. I made the decision to forgive it the first time. I'm going to keep following up. And so it may take days. It may take weeks. It may take months. It may take years where you continually stay in that decision. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I'm not picking it back up. I'm not going to go unbury that hatchet. I forgive. I forgive. I made the decision, devil, and I'm not going back. I forgive. And so sometimes we need to understand that forgiveness is not just a single act. It's a process. There's a third mistake that people sometimes make, and that is thinking that we haven't truly forgiven someone unless we forget it. We hear the statement, forgive and forget. Just forgive and forget. Sometimes we can forgive and forget, but sometimes we can't. See, the Lord gave us this incredible ability to remember. It's a great gift. It helps us in life. We learn because we experience things and we remember those things and we learn from the mistakes, we learn from the good, we learn from the bad. We remember and we learn. And some of us have been burned physically, literally. You touched the stove and you got burned and your mind, every time you get close to the stove, says, hey, remember, this thing bites. This thing will burn you. And it doesn't mean that you're never going to go back to the stove again. It doesn't mean you're never going to cook a meal again. It doesn't mean you're never going to be in the kitchen again. It just means I'm going to be more careful the next time when I'm around the stove because I don't want to get burned. And I think we need to apply that same kind of wisdom when it comes to the people in our life who have harmed us, they've hurt us, they've wounded us, they've burned us. And we go, you know what? I forgive. But I'm not necessarily forgetting, not that I'm going to keep you bringing it up against them and throw them in their face. I'm going to stay clear. I may get back in their kitchen again. I may get close to them again, But there is a memory there that helps me to learn that it's not about just forgiving and forgetting, that sometimes we remember because there are scars where there used to be wounds. Anybody got a scar today? You're thinking about it right now, wherever it's at. Maybe it's on your arm, your back of your neck, on your leg, whatever it was. Some kind of accident, maybe a surgery, whatever it might have been. And you're going through this thing, and it happens, and it hurts. And it hurts for a while, and it takes a while to heal and to get over it. But then when you're healed and it's over it, you remember because of the scar. And I say that, and I put my hand right there on my this part of my thumb here at my wrist, because I got a scar here, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And I can remember the incident. I remember what happened. I was a kid, probably 7, 8 years old. I was a city slicker, but I was with my country cousins. And sometimes that goes well, and sometimes it doesn't. This particular night, it didn't go too well. We were running around with milk jugs on sticks, and the milk jugs were on fire. They were like torches, and we're running around in the dark, and it was kind of a cool thing. It was really cool. Except, let me give you advice. If you ever decide to do this, hold the stick at an angle from your hand, not straight up over your hand. That's the mistake that I made, and the dripping wax fell down on my hand and burned it pretty good. So I just, you know, if you decide to, tonight, 4th of July, you know, I'm out of fireworks. Let's set a milk jug on fire. I'm just warning you, hold it at an angle. See, I can tell that story today. I can touch my hand today. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't bring a bad, horrible memory. It doesn't put me into PTSD or anything like that. Why? Because it's healed. It's just a scar. It's just a scar. I want to tell you, I believe that the Lord wants us to come to that place in our life where we've forgiven to the degree that, yes, there's still a scar there. Yes, we still remember what happened. But no, it doesn't hurt anymore. So forgiveness is not always easy. It can be a long process, but it's absolutely necessary, which brings me back to that first statement that I made. Not only is it hard, but it is necessary. We know that because Jesus told us. We know it because it just feels like the right thing to do, but, you know, then we get into real life. We get to that place where the rubber meets the road and hurt actually comes. And at that moment, we've got to make a choice. Am I going to forgive or not? And at that moment, we need to no more than just that we ought to forgive. We need to be reminded of why to forgive. So let me give you 4 real quick things, and then I'm going to close my message this morning about why forgiveness is necessary. I mean, I could just sum it all up and say because it's in our DNA, but let's just go a little bit deeper this morning. Number one, we have to forgive in order to be forgiven. We have to forgive in order to be forgiven. It's really what we already read in Matthew chapter 6, but in Mark chapter 11, Jesus says basically the same thing. He says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Well, Jesus makes that very direct correlation. We can't escape it, folks. If you ever think that you might sin again in your life, and you might need to ask God to forgive you when you do, you need to make sure that you're forgiving people when they sin against you, when they hurt you, no matter how hard it might be. Secondly, forgiveness changes your status from victim to victor. You see, the enemy wants to tell you that what happened to you, you're the victim. And there's a lot of people who go through life with a victim mentality. And they're expecting that everybody owes me something because of what happened. I'm telling you, God doesn't want you to be a victim. He wants you to be a conqueror, even more than a conqueror, an overcomer in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be a victor, not a victim. How do you do that? You forgive the person, and then you take the reins back. When you forgive, you get back in the driver's seat. Whatever it was that they did to you, they were in the driver's seat. But now when you forgive, you take the reins back. You take the control back. You take the power back. And you're saying, I'm not going to let you live in my head anymore. I'm not going to let you ruin my heart anymore. I'm not going to let you cause me to think like I am a victim anymore. I am an overcomer. Jesus forgave me, and I forgive you. And so when we are forgiving, amen, we change from victim to victor. Number three, we forgive others because sometimes we're the ones who need to be forgiven. I know when you just got hurt, that's the only thing you can think of. It's like, man, people just do this stuff to me. That hurt me. Well, the reality is we've done it to somebody else more than we care to admit. Sometimes it was by what we did. Sometimes it was by what we said. Sometimes it was just by our carelessness. But we hurt others. And so we forgive because we know that that sets us up to be forgiven. And then fourth and finally, forgiveness is the only road to freedom. And now we're full circle. And it's July 4th. And it's our Independence Day. It's our Freedom Day. You know, there are a lot of people today who could name someone whose life has been ruined because they continued to hold on to some wrong that had been done to them. And you just watch them, and they just can't get over it. They can't get past it. And their life is just ruined. The Chinese proverb says, whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves. Anne Lamott in Traveling Mercy says, not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. And we realize how foolish that is. But that's what unforgiveness does. It poisons our spirit. And there are a lot of people today who say, I'm an American. I live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. I am free. There were some Jewish people who thought that they were free one day. And they were telling Jews, we're free. They were living under Roman oppression at the moment. But they were, we're free. We're Abraham's kids. We're free. Jesus says the only way to really be free is to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, there's a lot of people who celebrate natural freedoms. And again, we'll grill our hamburgers and hot dogs, and we'll shoot off our fireworks, and we'll eat some watermelon or whatever it is that you do. And we'll say we're free. But the question is, are you really free? Are you really free? Are you free in your heart? Are you free in your mind? Are you free in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you free in your interactions with others? Or are you in bondage? Lord Jesus, we want to be free today. Not just free because we're patriots, not just free because we're Americans. We want to be free, truly free. We want to be like those that you said, when we know the truth will set us free. And Lord, we know the truth is that forgiveness is a big part of what it takes for us to be free. Lord, there may be some people in this room today or watching online, and their relationship with you is not one that's free. Sin has them in bondage. Habits, ways of living that are destroying their lives. They're not really free. Maybe some of that is because they just need to come to you, Father, and confess their sin and say, Lord, would you forgive me? If you're here, you're listening right now, and that describes you, whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, I offer this invitation. Run to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. He's quick to do it. He's quick to do it. The Bible says when we sin, that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. We just have to repent. We just have to confess it. We just have to take it to Jesus and say, Lord, I am so sorry for what I've done. I know it wronged You. Please forgive me, Father. Restore the joy of Your salvation. Bring me back into right relationship with You. Help me to live the way that You want me to live. Free, forgiven. If you're not a Christian, there's no better time than right now to invite Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of all your sins, all your past, all of your shortcomings. The Bible makes it so clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of your sin lead you to eternal death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life purchased when Jesus went to a cross and died there in your place as your substitute to pay the penalty for your sin. And all you have to do is accept His gift of eternal life. So if that's you, just pray that prayer. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me now of all my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. And help me, Lord, to live my life for You. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for You, Jesus. I don't want to be the Lord of my life anymore. I want You to be the Lord of my life. So I give my life to You. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank You for forgiving me of all of my sin. Thank You for coming into my heart, becoming my Lord and Savior. Thank You that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank You that I now have eternal life. Thank You that I am born again, that I am a child of God, that I am a Christian today, a follower of Jesus. Help me to walk it out now in Jesus' name. There may be some people here today. There's a real serious prayer that you need to be praying. And it's, God, help me to forgive what that person or those people did to me. I'm tired of living in the bondage. I'm tired of the weight and the heaviness that is created in my life. I'm tired of carrying this grudge, this ball and chain that I've been dragging through life. I'm tired of being the victim. So God, I make a decision today to forgive. Some of you, come on right now. Let the Holy Spirit just show you and walk you through this. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a former spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker, a boss. Maybe it was someone you once considered your very best friend, but they hurt you in a way that you just had a hard time ever letting it go. I'm not asking you for a one-time decision today. I'm asking you to decide to commit to the process, to forgive until the wound becomes a scar and the memory is just a memory. It has no pain anymore. But you got to start right here and right now. So from your heart, with God as your witness, would you just set that person free? Come on, they don't have to earn it. They don't even have to have asked for it. This has got nothing to do with them. This has everything to do with you. This isn't about trust. This is about forgiveness. So right now, I forgive. Come on, maybe you just need to say it out loud. Say it with me. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive it. Lord, do the mending. Lord, do the healing. Lord, you said that you came to bind up the brokenhearted. Bind up the wounds, Lord. Bring healing. Pour in, Lord, your healing salve. Bring the healing. Because, Lord, we choose today. We're not going to walk in unforgiveness. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Lord, it may take another 30 or 40 times today. Maybe another 2 or 3 dozen times tomorrow. And again the next day. Then we come back to this. But Lord, every time, let it be in our heart, I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the grace that we need to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me at the front. I'm going to close in prayer. If you made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come down to the front and let us know. We want to give you some material that will help you in your walk with the Lord. If you came this morning burdened with anything and you just feel like, I need a prayer partner, someone that will stand with me and agree with me. The Bible says that where 2 or 3 agree is touching anything, that it shall be done of the Father which is in heaven. So if you just need someone to just stand with you in agreement, we're here to pray with you and to agree with you. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus today. Thank you for the freedom of forgiveness. Help us to walk in that, to live in that, to experience the fullness of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week here at Spirit Life Church.